brother-in-law also. She said to remember her this morning. She, Lord willing, be back tonight. Anybody else got any prayer requests this morning? David Earl. Continue to remember David Earl in your prayers. Amen. He's having a time. Amen. Y'all pray for David Earl. Anybody else? Well, yeah. Amen. Mm. Amen. Y'all remember that. Amen. Continue to remember Brother Jerry also. Mr. Sting.
Yeah, pray for me. I got a doctor's appointment
tomorrow morning. Tomorrow morning. Amen. Miss Jennifer.
I remember my daddy.
Thank the Lord. Yeah, y'all didn't know Miss Jennifer's daddy had to go to the emergency room. They ended up keeping him? Oh, thank the Lord, amen. Y'all continue to pray for Miss Jennifer's father back in West Virginia, amen. Anybody, Brother Ted?
Yeah, I always remember us and things going on. I remember the lady down at the family house, Miss Essie.
Mm-hmm.
Showed her my hands, and she said also bring up prayer requests for everybody at her home with
Jennifer. Amen. Miss Dawn? I remember this, Mr. Singletary. I remember Brother Chris and Sister Summer up in Sanford this morning. I'm about to say Pinehurst, Sanford. What's the difference? Amen. Brother Bray said there's a pretty good ways apart. Amen. I think I'm always one big hole myself. Amen. Anybody else? Brother Long, do you have your hand? Amen. Remember Brother Nolan, his family. Anybody else? Brother Jeff?
The family of Calvin Gulledge.
The Gulledge family. Amen. Let's remember them.
Remember Avery Powell. You know, I worked with him. He got melanoma. He's lost.
Brother Martin told me some good news the other day that boy Israel, some of y'all might remember him. He come through here, came to church a couple of times. He was in the Russellites, or he was raised that way. Said the boy gave his heart to the Lord the other day. Amen.
Amen.
Y'all pray for this boy named Israel. I'm sure he's going to have a battle with his family. Amen. But he's on the right family now.
Amen.
And God can take care of him. So y'all pray for him. Amen. Anybody else? Let's just learn it. Let's remember Austin and Michael. Amen.
Remember Matthew.
My
daughter's bringing the gospel going tomorrow. How she helps her on the road.
Amen. Remember Crystal, Angie, Craig. Amen. Anybody else? All right, let's take it to the Lord in prayer. Amen. Brother Brian Green, would you lead us, Lord, in prayer this morning, brother? Yes. Yes, God. Amen. Amen. Take your Bibles. And if you're not there already, the book of Revelation, you stand. We'll read the first chapter. Anybody would like to this morning? Revelation chapter number 1. Amen. Revelation chapter 1. Verse number 1, the Bible says, "The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John."
Blessed is he that doeth and heareth the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein for the
Mm-hmm. Brother Jerry, you want to read? I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ.
I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am not for the maiden, the first and the last, and what thou seest by the book, and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia, and to Ephesus, and Smyrna, and to Pergamos, and to Thyatira, and to Sardis, and to Philadelphia, and to Laodicea.
And I turned to see the voice that spoke with me, faintly, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks.
And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one likened to the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle.
His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were the flame of fire.
Mm-hmm.
And his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters.
And he had his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. His countenance was as the sunshine of him with strength.
And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last.
I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death.
Mm.
Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter.
And this bear seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and seven golden candlesticks, the seven stars of the angels of seven churches, and the seven candlesticks.
Amen. All of God's people said?
Amen.
Amen. Revelation of John, written about Jesus Christ and the things which are, and the things which are to come to pass, and the things which thou hast seen, according to verse number 19. We looked at several things last week, kind of recap a little bit and go a little bit further today about the book of Revelation. It is a prophetic book. It tells the future of events that are to come to pass. And by the way, they will come to pass.
Amen.
If God wrote it, it'll be so. Amen. Let it be so as it is written. We've seen last week that there's three looks at the millennial. And the millennium simply means millennium. Millennium, which is 1,000 years. There's a millennial reign that is yet to come to pass. Just as God made the earth in 7 days, and on the seventh he rested. Amen. That millennial and that type of 7 days is a type of history itself. 6,000 years of history up to this day since Adam, and the 1,000th will be the millennial. That'll be the 7,000 years, as Peter spoke of. One day with the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as one day. People say, well, scientists tell us this thing's been around for trillions of years. Well, they can say what they want to say. The earth could possibly have been here that long. But God's dealing with mankind since Adam is only 6,000 years.
Right.
You can find that out through reading your Bible. Now, the earth could have been here for longer than that if you'd read Genesis chapter number 1 in the beginning, where there's a gap in between there where God made this earth and it was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face, and then the Spirit of God moved. God recreated this earth, if you will. That's why he told Adam to replenish the earth. And you're going to replenish something that must be replenished with something before. And it wasn't replenished with man, but it was replenished with angelic beings if you'd study the book of Isaiah and the things that God dealt with over there. But the mankind and God's dealing with man has been 6,000 years. There's a 1,000-year millennial reign that is yet to come to pass. There's an amillennial view which believes there will be no millennial. You're going to have to tear your Bible up to believe that, amen. All the prophecies and all the things that speaks about a millennial, you'd have to pretty much be a fool to be an amillennialist, to believe there's no millennial. There's a post-millennial view. This is the teaching that Christ will come after the end of the millennium. We saw last week, according to Revelation chapter number 20, He comes before the millennial reign. God is coming back. There's two comings of the Lord that's yet to come to pass. One's coming in the cloud. That's when He takes the church out. When He raptures the church out, there'll be a 7-year tribulation period on earth, which is the primary teaching throughout the book of Revelation that is dealing with the 7-year great tribulation period. We'll be up in heaven with God if you're saved. During that time will be the marriage supper of the Lamb, and God will be ironing us out, all the spots and wrinkles in our testimonies, to present us as that bride to the groom in the millennial reign. And then there'll be a millennial reign after that. So there's a premillennial view, which is the correct view that Jesus Christ will come before the millennium. We said the first one is He raptures the church out at the end of the 7-year tribulation period. God comes back to this earth. And if you're saved, you're coming back with Him. And God will straighten out this world. As we said last week, there'll be no peace on earth till the King of Peace reigns on earth. This world's trying to bring in peace without God. There's also three views of the rapture. There's a pre-rapture, there's a mid-rapture, and a post-trib rapture. Now, we're pre-trib. The rapture will take place before the tribulation period. Revelation chapter number 4, verse number 1, you can see that come to pass. Mid-trib believes that we'll be raptured out in the middle of the tribulation. And a post-trib means post, the same thing as post-millennial, is that we'll be raptured out at the end of the tribulation period. Thank God I'm getting out before God pours His wrath out on this earth. There's plenty of scriptures that believe and preach that truth. One of the key verses in the book of Revelation, if you'd look with me again, is in verse number 19 of chapter 1, Revelation 1:19. God talking to John on the Isle of Patmos, He spoke unto him and told him the things to write. He said in verse number 19, write these things which thou hast seen. Something in the past. He's seen them. The things which are, that's what's going on right now. And things which shall be hereafter. That's things after the time that He's speaking to him. What you got to understand is that the Lord calls up John up into the third heaven, if you will, and He shows him the great mysteries of things that will come to pass. We can see that God deals with three types of groups of people throughout your Bible: Jews, Gentiles, and the church of God. You find that in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 32. When God is speaking in the Bible, you need to realize who He is speaking to. Is He speaking to the Jews? Is He speaking to the Gentiles? Or is He speaking to the church of God? And when we mean the church of God, is what God means, the church of God. He's not talking about the church of God per se as some kind of building that people say that's the church of God. The church of God is the body of Christ. It's made up of all born-again believers. So God's either speaking to the church in this age. By the way, the church started at the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. There was no body to get into until He died. So the body of Christ deals with the time since Christ was resurrected till the rapture of the church. That's the church of God. So He's either speaking to the church of God when you read your Bible. He's either speaking to those Jews or He's speaking to Gentiles. So we see in this verse of Scripture the three types of people that He's speaking to is in these time frames, the things which thou hast seen. You say, well, John hasn't seen anything. Well, John's writing in the revelation of God. He's up in glory. God has took him up into the future and He showed him things that's going on. What God is showing John while he's in Revelation, when he's writing down the great tribulation period, he's in a time where he's seeing the great tribulation period going on. What is he looking back? What's before the tribulation? The church age. Now look in verse 19 again. Write the things which thou hast seen. That's Revelations 1 through 4. That's the church. The church is before the tribulation period. He's writing those things which he has seen. He's up in glory. God is showing him these things. Write the things which number 2 are. That's the things that's going on in the tribulation period. That's in Revelation chapter number 5 through verses chapter number 19. Then he says the things which will be hereafter. That's Revelation 20 through 22, which is the end of all things, where the Satan will be bound and God will rule and reign. There'll be a new heaven and a new earth and so on and so forth. So in, as you see the three different types there, the things which thou hast seen is the church of God. The things which are, he's speaking to the Jews. You say, why would he be doing that? Because Daniel's 70th week of prophecy is that great tribulation period. Daniel prophesied 70 weeks of prophecy. Those 70 weeks associated with 7 years per week, which is 490 years. You can read that over there in the book of Daniel. If you take some time and read it sometime, it's very plain if you'll read it. It talks about Messiah the Prince being cut off, which is Jesus Christ being killed. At the Jesus Christ's crucifixion and his death, burial and resurrection is the 69th week. The Jews reject God. If you read your Bible, they rejected God in the Old Testament, right? Jesus Christ showed up, they rejected God the Son, just as they rejected God the Father in the Old Testament. Remember when God told Samuel, they said, give us a king. God said, Samuel, listen, they have not rejected you, they have rejected me. In that Old Testament, you see God the Father being rejected. So God the Father said, I'll send a son. In Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you see the accounts of the son. Guess what? The Jews crucified him. They said, we'll have no king but Caesar. They rejected God the Son. Amen. If you take and read your Bible in the book of Acts, God sends the Holy Ghost down. Acts chapter number 7, Stephen's standing there preaching. Jesus is standing at the right hand of the Father. He sees that vision up in heaven. And Stephen preaching that crowd, he said, you stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost as your Father. Those Jews rejected God the Father in the Old Testament. They rejected God the Son in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And in Acts chapter number 7, they rejected the Holy Ghost. What did God do? God raised up the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter number 9 and gave him the mystery of the church, which we know is what's going on today. Now, what is God going to do at the rapture of the church when he takes the church out, which is made of Jews and Gentiles? He's going to graft the Jews back in. That's Romans chapter number 11. That's Daniel's 70th week of prophecy. God's going back to those Jews. That's why he calls it this time as Jacob's trouble. Why did he call it Jacob's trouble? Why didn't he call it Joe's trouble? Why didn't he call it Brooks's trouble? Why didn't he call it Brian's trouble? He called it Jacob's trouble. Who is Jacob? Jacob is Israel. You remember the 12 tribes of Israel? Where did the 12 tribes come? They come from the sons of Jacob. And so God's going to go back to those Jews in that 70th week of prophecy. And that's the great tribulation period where God will be dealing with the Jews. So 1 Corinthians 10:32, you have the church of God, you have the Jews, and then what you have? The Gentiles. That's the eternity where God will put all together and rule and reign on this earth. And we'll rule and reign with him. And God's going to go to whosoever will, if you will, that will bow down and worship the king. So there's Gentile reign. This is what God has prophesied. So here it is in verse 19 again. Write the things which thou hast seen. He's writing about the church. Revelation 1 through 4. The things which are. That's the great tribulation period that's going on. Jacob's trouble. Daniel's 70th week. Romans chapter number 11. God grafting back in those natural branches. Amen. Romans chapter number 11 and Daniel is very important when you understand what God's going to do when he raptures the church out and goes back to the Jews. Well, those wild branches are us in Romans chapter number 11. God grafted us in, contrary to nature, if you will. Thank God he grafted the church in and we get in and we're saved. But as a child of God, you need to understand and comprehend that this book's more about than just you.
Right.
What our problem is, we think it's all about us. Thank God I got a part in this thing, but it ain't about me and it ain't about you. This whole thing's about the Lord Jesus Christ and how he deals with mankind throughout history. Your Bible covers history from the beginning. In the beginning was God, and in the end it's going to be God. New heaven and new earth. And all of it in dealing with from Genesis to Revelation is God's dealing with mankind.
Amen.
Find out where you're at. Find out what God expects you to do and live it until he comes. Okay? So he writes these things. They're in Revelation chapter 1, verse number 15. So, we see the tribulation. I'll give it to you again. The tribulation is shown. The things which are. You see verse 19? Look at it again. Everybody understand what I'm saying this morning?
Amen.
If you've got any questions, you feel free to raise your hand and I will explain. I want you to get a hold of it. If you get a hold of the introduction of the book of Revelation, as we told you last week, it'll make this book a whole lot more simpler. I told you last week, it's not a very difficult book to understand. What's difficult is to believe it.
Right.
Most people read things in there and say, how can that be? No, that can't be so. I can't understand that. You just believe it, brother, and it'll come to pass just like God said it.
Amen.
And if you'll believe it more literal than spiritual, you'll be better off in reading your Bible anyhow. The Bible is to be interpreted literally. God does things literally. You say, well, some of it's spiritual. I know it is. When do you know the difference from literal to spiritual interpretation? Here's how it is. When you can interpret it literal, you interpret it literal. When you cannot interpret it literally, then you take it spiritually. And if you'll take that mindset in reading your Bible, you'll be better off. What a lot of people do is they spiritualize a lot of things away instead of taking it literally just like God wrote it. Some things cannot be taken literal. They must be taken spiritual. But the majority of your book is written on a literal interpretation, just like God said. You say, preacher, I can't understand some of that stuff in the book of Revelation. I've been reading that thing, and I don't know how it can be. You just hold on, and you'll be just like he said it would. You imagine trying to read the book of Revelation 2,000 years ago. Maybe trying to read it in 90 A.D. or 96 A.D. when it was first written, without what the knowledge you know about what's going on in the world today. Now look at how knowledge and things have increased, and things that you've seen come to pass that since 90 A.D. where the cars has been invented, planes have been invented, computers has been invented. And now you start looking at it and you say, man, I can see some of that stuff. Listen, there's still some stuff yet to come you don't even know about. You just believe it until it gets there. Amen. God will be right. Amen.
Amen.
So look in verse 19 again. Things which thou hast seen, the church. Things which are, the tribulation. And the things which shall be hereafter. Now, the things which are the great tribulation period. In reading the book of Revelation, those first four chapters deal with the church. It deals with that great introduction, chapter 1. We read it twice already in Sunday school about the Lord Jesus Christ and his prophecy that John is writing about. He's writing about the prophecy of Jesus Christ. In those first four chapters, you'll see the church being mentioned. Those seven churches are seven literal churches in Asia Minor. There are also seven types of church history as we know it today, and we'll get into it as we get there. But from Revelation chapter 4 and chapter 5 through chapter 19, you see the Great Tribulation period. And as you study the Great Tribulation period, and here's what people need to understand, from Revelation 5 to Revelation 19, the Great Tribulation period is covered four different times. Four different times. You say, why would he do that? Well, think about it. God's a God of order. When he showed up the first time, he gave four accounts of his first coming. You know what they are, right? What are they? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. There are four interpretations of the first coming of Jesus Christ. At his second coming, which is not the rapture, it's when he comes back to the earth at the end of the tribulation period, pre-millennial, before the millennial, he gives four accounts of his second coming in the book of Revelation. Those things which are. You with me in verse 19 when I say the things which are? The things which thou hast seen is the church. First four chapters. The things which are, chapters 5 through 19, the great tribulation period. He covers the second coming four times. He covers the great tribulation, if you will, four times. You say, how could that be? Well, I gave it to you last week. Revelation 6 through Revelation 8, 1, he deals with the judgment of seals. And he shows how he judges this earth with sealed judgments. Through the great tribulation period. He covers it in one time. Then he covers the tribulation again a second time. Revelation 8 verse 2 through chapter 11. He deals with how he's going to pour out judgment through the trumpets. And he covers the tribulation period again. In Revelation 12 through 14, he deals with the activities of the Antichrist. What he does on earth. In those 12, 13, and 14, three chapters, he covers the great tribulation period again. And then Revelation 15 through 19, he covers the tribulation again through the vile judgments. There's four accounts of the second coming. Now here's where we want to start something new today. Look with me, if you will, in Revelation chapter 6. I want to show you this. So there's four accounts of the tribulation period. Written from Revelation 5 to Revelation 19. They're covered from sealed judgments, vile judgments, trumpet judgments, and activities of the Antichrist. And they're also, it would be no different. So some of you probably think, preacher, I don't believe there's four accounts of the tribulation period. I don't believe that's how it's written. Let's just let God be true and every man a liar. If there's four accounts of the great tribulation period, you know what they got to be? Jesus Christ has got to return four times. Wouldn't that be just to say? Anybody understand? If I'm going to say, he comes at the end of the tribulation period. Everybody agrees with that, right? That's a premillennial return before the millennium. Tribulation period, 7 years, 1,000-year millennial reign. Between the 1,000-year millennial reign and the 7-year tribulation, Jesus Christ comes back at the end of the tribulation. I'm telling you, from Revelation 5 to Revelation 19, there's 4 accounts of the great tribulation period. And if there's 4 accounts of it, if he goes through these 7 years, and he does it in vial judgment, and he does it in seal judgment, then he does it in trumpets, then he does it in the activities of the Antichrist, at the end of each one of them, Jesus Christ has got to show up. Do you know in Revelation chapters 5 through 19, Jesus Christ shows up 4 times? Amen. Which lines up with the 4 accounts of the great tribulation period. Well, look at it. Revelation chapter 6 is his first return. Revelation 6. You say, well, preacher, you said from Revelation 6 to Revelation 8, 1 is the first account of the great tribulation period. What in the world is he doing showing up in chapter 6 and not in chapter 8, verse 1? That's a good question. And you didn't come up with it. I come up with it for you. Do you understand the question that I come up with for you? The first account of the tribulation period. I need a chalkboard. I'm going to get one next week and put it up here. And it'll help it a whole lot better. The first account from Revelation 6 to Revelation 8, 1, he deals with what? Sealed judgments. If you look in Revelation 8, 1 with me real quick, and I'll show you the last sealed judgment. Revelation 8, 1. Chapter 8, verse 1. And when he had opened the seventh seal, so there's 7 sealed judgments. Here's the last one. There was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. Then he said in verse 2, and I saw the 7 angels which stood before God, and there were given what? 7 trumpets. Now he's went through the tribulation with 7 seals. In Revelation 8, 2, he begins another trip through the tribulation period, but he does it this time with trumpets. Now, in between the seal judgments, and at the end of the seal judgment, Jesus Christ has got to show up. But he don't show up in chapter 7. That's right before the seventh seal, right? If you remember, if you read the book of Revelation, the chapter 7 is one of those parenthetical chapters. A parenthetical chapter is what you would call today a commercial on your show. You're watching a TV show and a commercial comes on and it shows you something on the side. When you're reading the Revelation, there's several parenthetical chapters where it just shows you something going on in glory or something, a little side show of events. It has nothing to do with it. If you read it, it makes a lot of sense. Chapter 7 has nothing to do with sealed judgments. Amen? Now, chapter 6 to chapters 8, verse 1 deals with 7 sealed judgments. Chapter 7 is with no seals. It's a parenthetical chapter. It has nothing to do with what's going on in the seals. And what you'll see at the end of chapter 6, Jesus Christ shows up for the first time coming to the earth. Let's just read it. Revelation 6, look in verse number 2. Well, verse 14, excuse me. At the end of chapter 6. The Bible says this, and the heaven departed. You with me? As a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island was moved out of their places, and the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains. Now, what is all these people hiding from? Who are they running from? Why is everybody getting in the mountains and getting in the rocks and in the dens? All the kings of the earth, all the chief captains, all the mighty men, every bondman, rich and poor, it don't matter who they are, everybody's hiding. Look in verse 16. And said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne. Who are they hiding from? Who sits on the throne? That's Jesus Christ. And they're asking the rocks to fall on us and hide us. Look why. Why? Look at this. From the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? You know what that is? That's the first time in the book of Revelation that shows you that Jesus Christ is coming to this earth. Well, that's the battle of Armageddon. At the end of the tribulation period, the great day of his wrath has come. The wrath of the Lamb. Nobody has any question who the Lamb is. Right? Capital L, John the Baptist told us who he was. Behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sins of the world. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. And at the end of the seal judgments, after the sixth seal, before the seventh. Now what's the seventh? Seventh is in chapter 8 verse 1. Where there's silence in heaven. Why is there silence? Because all this wrath's going on earth. Jesus Christ has done left heaven. We've done left heaven with him. There ain't nobody talking up there. There ain't nobody left. Everybody's left heaven and came to earth for the great battle of Armageddon. That's why there's silence in heaven. People like to say, they make that joke, you know, that may, you know, they take Revelation chapter 8, verse 1, moment. Everybody been saved in length time knows what they pick on that verse about. They say that verse means there's no women in heaven. Because there was silence in heaven for the space of a half an hour. You can get a hold of that after a while. Like, you ever find a woman that can be quiet for a half an hour? It's just a joke, has no truth involved in it. Amen. But that's what they say. It's not because there's the women. Women will be in heaven too. What he's talking about is that they've done left glory in the great tribulation, at the end of the great tribulation period, and the wrath of the Lamb is come. You see that? And everybody's hiding from him. That's the first time he comes back. He went through the seals. Jesus Christ showed up on earth. The great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? That day is come. So would you agree with me? He's coming back right there. So you got the first account of the tribulation period through the sealed judgments, and at the end of the sealed judgments, Jesus Christ shows up. Now here's a second account. And look with me in Revelation chapter number 11. Revelation 11. Look down to verse number 14. So from Revelation 8 2, he begins the trumpet judgments all the way through chapter 11. The second account of the tribulation period. Just as you went through the seals, Jesus Christ showed up. It'll be no different when you read through your Bible in the book of Revelation that after the trumpets, Jesus Christ will show up. Revelation chapter number 11, verse number 14. When does he show up? Well, if you read your book of Revelation like I tried to urge you to this week, you read in chapter number 11, in verses 7 through verses 13, you see that Moses and Elijah is beheaded and then they're resurrected and raptured out. It's in there. There's two witnesses. They're Moses and Elijah. And we'll look at that sooner or later. You'll find out exactly who they are. When they can call down fire and turn water into blood, there's no doubt who these men are. They're the same men that showed up with Jesus on the mountain of transfiguration in Matthew chapter number 7. It was Moses and Elijah. Then when Peter and John went over, said, it's good for us to be here. And they said, they're coming. They're coming. And they're going to come during the tribulation period. They're going to preach. They're going to be beheaded. And God's going to resurrect them. In verses 7 through 13, you'll see there's two witnesses resurrected. They're resurrected at the end of the tribulation period, after the trumpet judgments, prior to Jesus coming back. Here he comes again. Now, how many times is he coming back in the tribulation period? One. At the end of premillennial return. He ain't coming back four times. But the book of Revelation shows him coming back four times. You know why it shows him coming back four times? I'm going to beat this thing like a dead horse. It's because there's four accounts of the great tribulation period. And so if there's an account here with the seals, he's got to show up at the end of the seals. If there's an account with the trumpets, he's got to show up at the end of the trumpets. If there's an account after the activity of the Antichrist, he's got to show up. If there's an account through the vials, he's got to show up. And he does it every time. No different. Revelation 11, look in verse 14. The second woe is past, and behold, the third woe coming quickly. And the seventh angel sounded. There he is. What did he sound? He sounded the seventh trumpet. And there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and his Christ, and he shall reign what? Forever and ever. Is the kingdoms of this world crisis now? No. The God of this world runs this system. God's turned it over to his reign. The devil, the Antichrist, his system is working today. Then the great tribulation period, the Antichrist will rule and reign on earth. Unless you bow and take his mark, you can't buy, sell, or trade. He's ruling the earth. But you know what it says in verse 15? The great day of our Lord has come. And he's ruling the world. When's he going to rule the world? During the millennial reign. Here he is showing up again. Look here, verse number 16. And the 24 elders, which sat before God on their seats, fell on their faces and worshiped God, saying, we give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art, which was, and which art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. And the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come. And the time of the dead, that they should be judged, that they should give rewards unto his servants, the prophets, and to the saints, and them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroyed the earth. And the temple of God was open in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of the testament. And there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and great hail. You know what happens here after the trumpets, seven trumpets? He shows up again. There's the second account of the great tribulation period. So he went through the seals, he showed up. He went through the trumpets, he showed up. You say, here's what a lot of people think. Well, he does the seal judgments, then Christ shows up. Then he does the trumpets, Christ shows up. Then he does the activities of the Antichrist, Christ shows up. Then he does the vials and Christ shows up. It don't work like that. What you're reading is four accounts, just like Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They're going on at the same time. The vials are overlapping the seals, and the trumpets are overlapping them both. Activity of the Antichrist is going on the whole time. He's just showing it in four different lights of how it's going on so we can understand it. You just need to rightly divide your Bible the way he told you in 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And if you'll put it in its place, it makes sense. Did Mark say some of the things that Matthew said? Yeah. Did they happen at different times? No, they happened at the same time. They were just given through the eyes of Matthew instead of the eyes of Mark. This is not given through the eyes of Mark, Matthew, Luke, or John. It's given through the eyes of vials. It's given through the eyes of trumpets. It's given through the eyes of seals. It's given through the eyes of the activities of the Antichrist. And all four of them overlap each other. That's why there's four returns. There's just one return, church. He comes back once. He don't come back four different times and say, hold up, I'll be right back. Hold up, I'll be right back. No, he does it and then he comes back. You understand what I'm saying? Here's the third account, third return, Revelation 14. So from Revelation 12 through 14, we've told you that there's the activity of the Antichrist. Just as he showed up in the seals, he showed up in the trumpets, he's going to show up at the end of the activities of the Antichrist. Revelation 14, verses 13 through 20, you see him showing up. What is he showing up? You can see when we read this passage that the blood is up to the bridle on the horse. What is that? It's the Battle of Armageddon. The Battle of Armageddon only takes place one time. One time. It's at the end of the tribulation period. It's before the millennium. Shows up, happens one time. That's when they're fleeing in the rocks. That battle's going on. Amen. The great day of his wrath has come. He's coming. There's the Battle of Armageddon. Here it is again. And he gives a little more details about the Battle of Armageddon. He gives a little more details about his second coming. Just as Luke gave a few more details about his first coming than Matthew did. They showed you he was born in a manger. So, do you know what I'm saying? You get it? Just a little more details. Revelation chapter 14. He's gone through the activities of the Antichrist, and guess who shows up? Jesus Christ. Verse 13. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write. Who heard the voice? John. He's the writer, right? Write. Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. And I looked, and behold, a white cloud. And upon the cloud one set like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice unto him that sat on the cloud, thrust in thy sickle and reap, for the time is come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. That's those gleanings, by the way. That's the great tribulation period. Rapture of the tribulation saints. And he that sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. And another angel came out of the temple, which is in heaven. He also had the sharp sickle. I just can't help but to say this. He's reaping those tribulation saints. What is he reaping the tribulation? Those people that didn't take the mark of the beast. Those people that didn't bow to the Antichrist. Those people that stayed faithful to Jesus Christ being the Messiah, not the Antichrist being the Messiah. He's going to take them out before he comes back. The rapture of the tribulation saint. That's why a lot of people think the church is raptured out at the end of tribulation. Because the tribulation saints are raptured out. The same time that if you remember in that last judgment that Moses and Elijah was raptured up. He says, come up hither. He's taken Moses and Elijah out, and he's taken out the tribulation saints. He's taken them out right before the second coming, right before the battle of Armageddon. Look at this. Verse number 18. And another angel came out from the altar, which had power over fire, and cried with a loud voice. Cried to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, thrust in thy sharp sickle, and gather the cluster of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. And the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth, and gathered the vine of the earth, and cast into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trodden without the city, and blood came out of the winepress, even unto the horse bridles. That's people. That's the battle of Armageddon, where he's stomping on them with that stallion when he left heaven, when he come as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The Bible said, even to the horse bridle, by the space of 1,600 furlongs. That's how big the area was, and the blood was that high on the horse's bridle of the battle of the great Armageddon. He came back and straightened it out. That's the third account, third return. And he does it one more time, Revelation 17. Revelations 15 through 19, he talks about the tribulation period through the vials that take place. In Revelation chapter number 17, look in verse number 8. Chapter 19. Revelation 15 through 19 is the fourth account, and in chapter 19 he shows up. Just as the four accounts are shown, he shows up in Revelation 11 at the end of the second one. He shows up Revelation 14 at the end of the third one. He shows up Revelation 19 at the end of the fourth one. The only one he don't show up at the end of the accounts is the first one, because he shows up in chapter what? 6. But we said it goes from 6 to 8, verse 1. The only reason he does that is because chapter 7 is a parenthetical chapter. And chapter 8 is just covers one verse, and then you go to the trumpets. That's why. Revelation chapter 19, look in verse 11. Here he comes again. Showing up again, but he's only showing up once. Revelation 19, verse 11. The Bible says this, and I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, capital F, capital T. And his righteousness, and in righteousness, excuse me, he doth judge and make war. It's the battle of Armageddon. And his eyes were as flame of fire, same as he was described in Revelation chapter 1. Remember that? And on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. Where'd the blood come from? The battle of Armageddon. Look at this. The Bible said, and he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called what? The Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and what? Clean. He shows up. Who's coming with him? We're coming with him. There's the fourth account of his coming. Let me show you this real quick. So there's four accounts of his coming, because there's four accounts of the great tribulation period. The things which are, right? He shows up four times. Do you know it's no mystery? Here's how it works. If there's four accounts, if there's four returns, there's four descriptions of the Antichrist. Different lights. Four looks at the Antichrist. You'll see him in the first one, Revelation chapter 6. Look here. Revelation 6. There in that first account of the tribulation period, the great tribulation period, it shows it through the seals. It shows Jesus Christ coming up, and it shows the man of sin. It shows you the devil. He's in the tribulation period. Revelation chapter 6, verse number 2. During the seals, there's a man on a white horse. It's very important that you see this. Revelation 6, verse 2. And I saw, and behold, a white horse. These are these four horses that you see in here. And he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to what? Conquer. Who is that man on the white horse? He's the Antichrist. And guess what? He's an imitation of the real Christ. He comes on a white horse. He's got many crowns, right? The devil's always been a copycat. And that's why when he comes onto this earth as the Antichrist, people are going to bow and worship him because they're going to make him out to be God. He's going to sit in the temple as God, and they'll worship him as God. They're going to think that the Antichrist is the Messiah. The Jews are still looking for him. So when he goes back to the Jews, it's no great mystery that when he shows up doing all these great miracles, they're going to say he's the one. He's on the white horse. He's got the crown, going for the conquer and the conquered. There he is. So they show him as an imitation of the real Christ through the seals. Revelation 11:7, you'll see him the second time shown. Who is he here? Well, he's the beast from the bottomless pit. Revelation 11:7. The Bible said, and when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that descended out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. Who is he talking about right here? He's talking about Moses and Elijah. There's two witnesses here who he's overcoming. So in that second account, we see that the Antichrist is not shown as the man on the white horse. He's shown as the beast out of the bottomless pit. Look in Revelation 13, you'll see him again. During the seals, he's the horse that imitates Christ. During the trumpets, he's the beast from the bottomless pit. During the activities of the Antichrist, he's the beast of the sea who the world worships. Revelation 13, look in verse 1. The Bible said, and I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. No doubt who that guy is. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were like unto like the feet of a bear, and his mouth the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and a deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast, and they worshipped the dragon which gave power unto the beast. And they worshipped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? They're exalting the Antichrist. I tell you who's going to make war with him. The Lion of the tribe of Judah. Amen. The King of kings and Lord of lords. Look at verse 5. And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. What's 42 months? That's 3.5 years. The great tribulation period is broken up into 2 3.5-year sections. The first 3.5 years he makes peace. The last 3.5 years he pours out wrath on earth. By the way, when you're reading the seals and the trumpets, the activities of the Antichrist and the vials, all these happen in the last 3.5 years. First 3.5 years, the Antichrist comes up with a false peace. So here he goes, shows up. He's the beast of the sea who is the world worships. And lastly, in Revelation 17, you see, he's not the white horse imitating Christ in Revelation 6. He's not the beast out of the bottomless pit in Revelation 11. He's not the beast of the sea who the world worships. He's the beast that makes war with the Lamb. See, that Antichrist, he's a copycat at first. He shows you his real color. He tries to imitate Christ. Then he comes out of the bottomless pit, shows his real colors. And he makes war when he comes out and causes people of the world to worship him. And lastly, it shows you his main agenda is to make war with the Lamb of God. That's the Battle of Armageddon. When he gathers his troops together, when the Lord comes back, and that the devil thinks he's going to win. He's a loser. Revelation chapter 17, verse number 8, the Bible says this. The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not, and yet is. And here is the mind which, and here is the mind which hath wisdom. The 7 heads are the 7 mountains on which the woman sitteth. Look in verse number 11. And the beast that was and is, even he is the 8, and is of the 7. And goeth into perdition. And the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. These have one mind, and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. For he is the Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. That Antichrist is shown as fighting against the Lamb of God during the Battle of Armageddon. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for our Sunday school hour. Pray that you just continue to give us understanding. God, continue to bless us as we study this book. You said they're blessed as reading, God, so help us to read it and study it. Lord, learn about the history of the things that will come to pass. Help it motivate us to live and do something for you until you come. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.